So, did this doctor screw up? I honestly don't think so. Neurological disorders like mine are so rare in people my age that the symptoms would have to be blatant before any responsible physician could confirm so serious a diagnosis. In retrospect, though, I like to joke that what else should I have expected from the University of Florida, home of the football Gators, than for the team doctor to tell the quarterback he was okay to go back into the game. So back into the game I went. I finished filming Doc Hollywood in February 1991. For the final 2 months, production had moved from Florida to Los Angeles. Once again, ever restless, always on the search for my next opportunity, I launched myself headlong into another job. Bob Zemeckis was producing Tales from the Crypt, an anthology series for HBO based on the gruesome, blood-soaked EC comics of the same name, and he'd offered me an episode to direct. Eager to develop my directing skills as a backup to my acting career, I threw myself into the project with high enthusiasm, but flagging energy. The twitching in my pinky persisted, but now my ring and middle finger occasionally joined in on the act. I was experiencing weakness in my left hand, stiffness in my shoulder, and achiness in the muscles on the left side of my chest. I was convinced now that my problem was physiological and not neurological, probably related to the Back to the Future hanging. I assumed it was something I could take care of with physical therapy, and that could wait until after I finished working. As a matter of fact, I decided it might as well wait until after my summer vacation. Maybe it was out of embarrassment for being so uncharacteristically panicked in the first place, but I retreated into my inherited Anglo-Irish predisposition towards stoicism. Finishing up my directing chores on Crypt, I resolved not to accept any film offers until after a good long break with my family. I owed that much to Tracy and Sam. Hell, I owed that much to myself. I was in New York when The Hard Way opened in March of 1991. I received some of the better reviews of my career, but for the most part, the film was met with critical scorn and audience indifference. In plain terms, it was a very expensive, very damaging bomb. Universal had been making overtures about a multi-picture long-term contract, but now they were having second thoughts, though they assured my agent this was not the case. We both knew better. The executives at Universal were going to sit back and watch to see if Warner Brothers had the same problem with Doc Hollywood before they bet any more money in my career. Everything was riding on Doc Hollywood. Or, more precisely, the opening weekend of Doc Hollywood. An actor's bankability is determined by his power to draw an audience to those all-important first 3 days of a film's release. After all, attracting an audience to sample a picture is the reason the studios pay all that money for a big-name star. The pressure to ensure that the film continues to do strong business, has legs in industry parlance, then shifts to the marketing and publicity departments, and away from the actor. All I needed was 3 days of solid box office, and I was out from under the failure of The Hard Way.